Hello, hope you're doing well today. You're listening to Mental Health Matters on the Jefferson Exchange with Jefferson Public Radio and NAMI, Oregon, NAMI Southern Oregon. I'm Andra Hollenbeck with NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, Southern Oregon. When we discuss health, we cannot address complete health without talking about our mental health. And on this program, we highlight mental health issues in our community and ways we can improve mental health for everyone. Today, we're discussing the use of psilocybin for mental health treatment with Heidi Pendergrass, Oregon Director for the Healing Advocacy Fund, and Emma Knighton, the Director of Services for Inner Trek, and this is a service center in Portland. So good day, Heidi and Emma. Thanks for joining us.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
So psilocybin is a new therapy, and it's novel, and I suppose somewhat controversial, and I just need to let the listening folks know that NAMI does not endorse any particular medication or treatment of any kind, and we defer all these decisions to the medical professionals. But with that, let's just start with a bit about your different organizations. And Heidi, let's start with you, and then we'll hear about Emma and Inner Trek. What is your organization? What does it do?
Absolutely. So I'm part of the Healing Advocacy Fund, and our mission is to protect and expand safe, affordable, state-regulated access to psychedelic healing for all who stand to benefit. And we came about after the passage of Measure 109 in 2020, which passed with 56% of the vote in Oregon. And I think voters in the state know that there's a mental health crisis here, and this is a novel way that people can actually see real benefits and real relief. And there's been a lot of studies both in the United States and worldwide on this. And so voters passed Measure 109 in 2020. And since that point, we've been working to advocate for rules with the OHA and to really help lift standards and build a program that has safety guardrails for clients.
Okay. So you're more in the larger, the bigger picture. And Emma, it sounds like you do direct therapy with psilocybin. What about your organization?
Yeah, so I am the director of services at Inner Trek, which is a psilocybin service center located in Portland. And so I'm the person who runs that, and we provide individual and group psilocybin services. And so I'm working administratively in that space and organizationally, and then I am also a therapist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. So when I read about psilocybin, it seemed like it's really clear to be important, clear about what psilocybin therapy is and what it is not. So Emma, what is psilocybin therapy and what is it not? Because I know psilocybin has sometimes been used recreationally, but that's not what this is about, right?
Yeah, it's a very different setting than recreational use. It's a very intentional space, and it is usually more short-term than what we see with people with doing more long-term mental health therapy, you know, in an outpatient mental health clinic. And so for us, what the container looks like is people have intakes. At our service center, there's a robust health screening process that they go through with our health and safety team, which includes a medical doctor and myself, who's a licensed therapist. And then people are paired with facilitators, either for one-on-one sessions or group, and they go through an intake with a facilitator. They have at least two prep sessions, sometimes a few more if they need it in individual care. And then they have their psilocybin experiences. And that is through a non-directive model. And that's something that the OHA has decided in the way that we're training our facilitators. And so really it's their holding space for the clients to go in and have a really deep inner directed process with themselves. And our facilitators are there to hold space for them. Much of it is inside. Many people will wear eye shades. There's music playing. And they go through this journey that, you know, their own system and the psilocybin is really co-creating, and our facilitators are there to support them along the way. They're not guides.
Right. Okay.
And then at the end, they have integration sessions. And, you know, we often tell our clients that integration is the most important part of the process. And this is when people are able to make meaning of their experience, translate it, into their everyday life and really decide, you know, what shifts do they want to make and start understanding what did it mean for them to have the experience mm-hmm. they had on psilocybin mm-hmm. and how does that really apply to them and their lives and the changes they want to make.
Okay. So a pretty thorough process. It's a groundbreaking therapy, and I've read that it's well regulated. So maybe Heidi, you could tell us about what is involved in regulating how, you know, the dosages are given, that sort of thing. How is that regulated?
Absolutely. Well, the OHA went through a 2-year intensive rulemaking period where they brought experts both from the state of Oregon and nationally to weigh in on what the rules should look like. And within this program, the OHA actually licenses facilitators. The training programs that those facilitators attend are licensed through HEC. The manufacturing centers that actually produce the psilocybin are licensed through the Oregon Health Authority, as are the labs and the service centers themselves.
Okay.
So each one of those places has an extensive set of rules that they must follow in accordance with that.
Mm-hmm.
During training programs, facilitators learn about different dosages, what that can translate to for the client, and it's really on an individual-by-individual basis.
Okay.
The OHA has also set up this framework of at least one required preparation session that Emma mentioned, mm-hmm. the administration session, and then an optional integration session, although most service centers and facilitators highly recommend, and most clients do take them up on that because it's really critically important. So it's really a well-thought-out model that we're rolling out here in Oregon.
Okay, awesome. So everyone, you're listening to Mental Health Matters on Jefferson Exchange. I'm Andra Hollenbeck of NAMI Southern Oregon, and we're speaking with Heidi Pendergast and Emma Knighton about psilocybin treatment in Oregon. So it seems like people seek out therapy for many different reasons, and there's many different kinds of mental health situations. And it seems like I was wondering what I noticed that it seemed to be primarily used for depression and anxiety, but is this a better therapy for some types of mental health condition than others? Let's see. Emma, would you say that there's some, some way that, is psilocybin better used for some types of mental health conditions than for other types?
Yeah, you know, I would say that what we're seeing most of coming in is people who have had long-term experiences with depression, anxiety, and trauma.
Okay.
Manifesting in various forms, addictions, PTSD. I wouldn't say that one is, you know, better than the other in terms of being served with psilocybin. There's a lot of different factors that plays into that. But what we are definitely seeing the most of come in through the clinic that we are seeing good success at treating is folks who have been struggling with mental health for, you know, most of their life, many decades for some of our clients, and have, you know, are in the camp of I've tried everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that I've heard about and want to try this now. And I'm really hoping for some relief.
Okay. So psilocybin is a psychedelic. So how do therapists, and I guess this would be for you, Emma, how do therapists make sure that this doesn't make some symptoms that someone might have, like psychosis or hallucinations, worse? Is there some part of the screening process that helps with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there's two layers of that. One is that we have some regulations from the state. There is state-regulated contraindications for psilocybin, and there's three of those.
Okay.
The first one is if somebody is actively using lithium, because we know that people on lithium can have seizures when they take psilocybin. That's a possibility.
Okay.
The second is if someone's actively suicidal, so we need them to not be actively suicidal before we're able to work with them. And then the third one is if they have a history of psychosis or schizophrenia.
Okay.
And so from the state level, those are contraindicated. Mm-hmm. So all of the service centers are screening for those. And then on another level, you know, we have a really robust health screening process at InterTrek. And so we look through people's mental health records. We will often coordinate with other medical providers or mental health care providers to really try to provide a wraparound approach where mm-hmm. we're, you know, ensuring as much as we can. Mm-hmm. We can't always guarantee anything, that people are in a stable enough place to go through this process.
Sure.
And we'll assess the family history of psychosis or mental health as well, which is not state required, but for us, we believe is the highest standard of care.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit more about the screening process, because it does sound very thorough. What would that be like for someone? And maybe you could also speak to a bit of what is the range of experience that people have with that? So they're interested in this. What would be the first step? What would that intake look like? What would their experiences be?
Yeah, absolutely. I can speak to InterTrek's process. Ours is a little bit different than many of the other service centers because we do have a medical doctor on staff who does the health screenings for everyone. So for us, somebody is going to reach out to us, inquire about services, and then we are going to send them three pretty extensive forms mm-hmm. to fill out. One of those is the intake form required by the OHA. And then we've developed two of our own. And so they'll be answering questions about their medical history, any medications they're on, their family history of mental health issues, if they're seeing any prescribers, any therapists, any spiritual support people, and a lot of questions about their own support system. And if they're able to potentially handle a period of destabilization, which can sometimes happen after psilocybin and as mm-hmm. a part of the integration process. So then we review all of those forms. Our health and safety director does the first pass. And if he flags any concerns, then him and I meet every week and we go through them together. He might have a phone call directly with the person. He might have a release of information with other people's providers mm-hmm. to get more information. And if anybody has a history of personality disorders, specifically bipolar 2 or borderline personality disorder, I will typically get on the phone with them and assess them myself to see if it could be a good fit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it isn't for everyone. And it seems like it's pretty targeted. And it sounds like you're pretty thorough about making sure it's the right therapy for the right person. What do you see as the future for this type of therapy?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we are kind of all co-creating the future of this as we work together,
okay.
Everybody in the community. My hope is that we can see insurance reimbursement for this long-term.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think it's a really important piece of creating access to this modality. Currently, it's quite expensive and, inaccessible to some people. And really, to be able to serve the people that we want to serve, the people that need this most, we're really hoping that insurance can come on board with this. And there's many efforts underway to do that, part mm-hmm. of which Heidi is involved with as well.
I suppose some of that has to do with collecting data on the effectiveness of the treatment. And I think you guys are, I saw on your website, there was quite a bit of data showing effectiveness for different kinds of treatment. So that's something people could look at.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Well, great. Well, thank you both very much for sharing in our brief little interview, a little bit more information about psilocybin treatment. And you can find out more information about NAMI Southern Oregon at our website, namisouthernoregon.org, or you can email us at info@namisouthernoregon.org. This is Andra Hollenbeck with Mental Health Matters, and thank you both for joining us. You can find this and other interviews at jeffexchange.org or subscribe to this podcast at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.